Good afternoon and welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at the shop at 937-293-3914. If you'd like to get on the show today, please give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'll be more than glad to get you up in the queue. I want to remind our listeners that one of the things that we specialize in Sim Trainer is in training, and in training particularly in firearms, basic handgun, and concealed carry. And this particular week was kind of this upcoming week, there's a rare situation that exists. We have several open slots that we would be interested in filling just to make it a full class. We've been running pretty much full month to month and offering additional classes to carry the load. However, we have some openings, and we're going to run a special where we're going to have a buddy special. It's 2-for-1.
You this and is your for friend, concealed carry class.
Concealed carry class this next week, August 5th through the 8th. That's Monday through Thursday evening from 5:30 to 9:30. We'll be offering a 2-for-1 special, whereas if you come and you register, you call in and you register yourself and another person, you basically get the class 2-for-1. In essence, it's half price if you and your friend want to go.
Great chance for a husband and wife to come and take a class.
In addition, if one person wants to come, we'll give you $25 off if you call in and you'd like to register. Just mention that you heard about the special on the radio. Obviously, if you have someone, it could be your neighbor, it could be your spouse, it could be a friend, somebody down the street. You've been thinking about it. You haven't really pulled the trigger, literally or figuratively yet, but now's the opportunity and now's the kind of motivation. In essence, you'd be getting the class for half price and all the bells and whistles that go along with it. So, again, if you call the range at 937-293-3914 and talk to our staff, they'll be more than glad to get you registered. There are limited spots available. These will likely fill up quick, so the earlier the better. And I will extend the offer through tomorrow, even into Monday morning if there's anything open, if you want to do that. However, we've got to realize that the earliest somebody will be there on Monday will be at 1 o'clock p.m., so if you're going to register online and then you're going to call them with a credit card later on, they'll be more than glad to process your registration as soon as they get in the office. But if you're so inclined, please take advantage of that opportunity. I also want to let our listeners know that throughout the months of August and September, we're going to be running a Ruger promotion. Ruger has been pumping out firearms at a very rapid rate. And they're encouraging the dealers to start some promotional programs. I talked with our local rep, and he's sending us a bunch of promotional material that we're going to be able to give away with the purchase of a gun. We have a very, very solid inventory. I'll just give you kind of a rundown of some of the guns that we haven't been able to get in the past that we now have. We have their newly released Ruger SR556 gas piston 223 AR rifle. We also have their highly desirable Scout bolt-action rifle, Firearm of the Year. Last year, their Ruger American in 270, and we will offer the purchaser of that particular rifle, that bolt-action rifle, which again was a Gun of the Year in the NRA last year. We will give you offer you the opportunity to buy five boxes of the 270 ammo to go along with it. We also have the Ruger Takedown 1022. It's kind of a neat little gun that actually breaks down in half, and it comes with a very nice backpack that if you're into hiking or canoeing or other things, the outdoors, and you want something that's a little bit more compact that you can take the gun in, take the backpack, and then everything else, put it in one big compartment. It fits neatly on your back, and it's a nice option if you're so inclined. As far as handguns are concerned, we just recently got our supply of SR9s, SR9Cs, LC9s, LCPs, LCRs. We have a couple with laser options, LCR in both the 38 and in the 22 variation. And we also have the SR22, which is their new 22 pistol, which is a lot of fun. And the nice thing about that, along with it just being a great gun to shoot, it offers interchangeable grip swells, which makes it comfortable for bigger and smaller shooters to shoot.
I think for those who might not be as familiar with some of those designators, the LCR is a revolver, It's a light compact revolver. It's a great little gun. Has a very smooth trigger for a revolver that has a shielded hammer. Some of those little revolvers can be a little bit tricky to shoot, and you have to have a pretty strong finger. And that one's not too bad. That one's it's really nice. And the LC-22, the 22 revolver, the LCR-22 is a really clever looking little gun. That one's a real fun one. And so if you're looking for a 22 revolver that you wanted to maybe even have just as a fun gun. But something that you could carry along if you were hiking and you just wanted to have something small that you could carry, wouldn't be very heavy. That's a great little gun as well. So Ruger has really stepped up to the plate and come out with some great new firearms over the last few years. They probably started a huge revolution with the LCP, the light compact pistol, in 380, and they've not quit with that.
That's right.
With that laurel, they just kept right on going and coming out with great new guns all the way through. So glad to be able to carry them and let people try them. The Try Before You Buy, it's a great way to find out if any of those are super for you. And we have that program available as well.
A couple of additional comments about the LCR. The light compact revolver is primarily a polymer frame gun, very lightweight. The trigger, as Mark mentioned, very easy to pull, 6.5 foot-pounds of pressure, compared typically to anywhere from 9.5 to 12 foot-pounds of pressure for some of the other revolvers. So it makes it easier for people to get accurate shots because they're not jerking the trigger trying to pull it. So there's a lot of different options. And it comes in a number of different variations. It has different front sight choices that make it easy for those of us that don't have such good eyes to pick up the front sight in special situations.
We have great eyes. The arms are too short.
Yeah, something like that. And then also they came out with just recently the Ruger LC-380, which is different than their LCP. It's basically built on the identical frame that the LC-9 was, but they just use 380 instead of the 9mm, and that's the gun that they just recently came out with, and it's been a big seller for those who want just a little bit less felt recoil than the 9mm, but in the same frame just for manageability. So Ruger's done a tremendous job. We attended a seminar at the beginning of the year, and they've made a commitment to fulfilling the desires of the clientele, both from the standpoint of us as suppliers and you as consumers. They've ramped up to the maximum capacity they possibly can their production, and they're doing a great job. Where we had placed orders that, as many of you well know, at the tail end of last year is when the shortages started to occur on into the early months of 2013, but they are now pretty much caught up with all of our orders. And the thing that's happening now is because they've got such great products, they're wanting to push those products onto the consumers and give you the opportunity to purchase those. So we have a very heavy inventory of Ruger firearms in addition to several others. So I don't want to make you think that that's all we have. We've been fortunate to get several of the Shields and several of that's the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield and the new Springfield XDS 9mm and a variety of others. But this particular promotion is dedicated to Ruger, and everybody that purchases a Ruger between now and September 31st will be entered into a raffle for a Ruger firearm. So that's another motivation for you to do so. And in addition to the new Rugers, we have about a half dozen of our Ruger Mark III 22 pistols left over from the range program. They were newly purchased in November of 2012. We recently just transitioned from the Ruger Mark III to the Smith & Wesson M&P because we feel it's a little bit more consistent with some of the things we're doing in some of the other classes. But the Mark III is one of the mainstays in the 22 world, and it's most people that started shooting guns when they were younger, many, at least in my generation, you either shot a 10-22 or a Mark 1 or 2 pistol, a 10-22 rifle made by Ruger or a Mark 1 or 2 pistol made by Ruger, and they're very reliable, very interesting. And we have, like I say, a half dozen of those. They're selling for only $300 a piece while they last. We've already gone through half of those that we've had. So if you're interested in that, call us down at the range, stop down at the range, and we'll be more than glad to accommodate you any way we can. And again, this offer, unlike several others, this is open to all of our listeners, not just our members. And while you're down there, please take the opportunity to look at the range, see if it's something that you'd be interested in, maybe joining as a full member or an associate member and getting yourself in a situation where you can shoot recreationally practice if you're carrying concealed or whatever the case might be, because it'll give you a very unique opportunity. And we've expanded our hours to where we have plenty of recreational shooting time available throughout the week, and it should be very accommodating to you. As far as current events go, Mark and I, before the show, were talking about some of the issues. There weren't a whole lot of new things. There were a couple of incidents, but one that I just want to talk about, and we can kind of hash some of the issues back and forth. But we talked at the end of last week's show about stand your ground laws and the attacks of the current administration on stand your ground, what they're trying to do around the country. And you know, it's my opinion. I think Mark agrees with me to a large degree that there's not much really to argue about, because stand your ground isn't a new concept. As Mark mentioned last week, and I'll just reiterate, the essence of stand your ground simply comes down to where the burden of proof is once the case goes to trial. As it currently stands, to the best of our knowledge right now, Ohio is the last remaining state that puts the burden of proof on the individual that's involved in the defendant rather than the prosecution if you're involved in a shooting. Arizona apparently was one of the last states that kind of turned the tide and went the opposite direction and put the burden of proof where it needs to be on the prosecution, because like every other act of or alleged act of criminal activity, the burden of proof is on the prosecution, and they have to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a criminal act occurred and that you, the individual, committed a criminal act. And the stand your ground concept, just like a couple of other terms at the beginning of the year when they were talking about help me out, Mark, the black rifle thing, the issue they were talking about. Assault weapons. Assault rifles or assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And they didn't really understand the concept, and it just got thrown out there as a negative phrase or term. And then the people that didn't know ran with it, and then the liberal media just added to
also
it.
Also doesn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. They just went ahead and ran with it, and it's the same thing that's happening here now. They make you believe that stand your ground is something that's different and it needs to be dealt with, and when in fact the basic principle has been in existence from the beginning of time.
One of the things that where this was brought into was when you have the case down in Florida with the George Zimmerman trial, and stand your ground was not even an issue in that case, and yet that is where this has been brought in repeatedly, and where the media has begun to run with it, and where people like Michael Bloomberg have taken off with it and tried to make some sort of a case out of it. There is a bill pending in front of the Ohio legislature that would include stand your ground legislation. It would include some changes to Ohio law that would allow you to defend yourself without first having a duty to retreat. Now, that is a little bit more common across the country, but the fact that you have to prove yourself as justified in using self-defense instead of having the prosecutor prove that is something that, as far as we can tell, is unique to Ohio. We need to take our first break for the hour, but if you'd like to be part of this discussion, please call the studio at 457-1290, and our producer, Mike Kane, will get your call, take it up, and give us a little bit of an idea what you want to talk about. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery. And a couple things I want to remind our listeners about. First of all, this evening down at the Fraze Pavilion in Kettering, Ted Nugent is making a special appearance. He's playing there. For those of you that aren't very familiar, Ted's a very prominent spokesman for the NRA and a very big gun supporter.
He's on the board of directors.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of good viewpoints. I don't know that tonight they're going to talk a whole lot about that. It'll probably be restricted to his act, but I got a feeling that just the spirit of the crowd is going to be very supportive, and he may mention a few things, but if you're so inclined, I'm not sure if they have tickets still available, but that's at the Fraze in Kettering if you'd like to attend that activity. Right before the break, we were talking about some of the current issues in the news, and some of you probably happen to see the article that was distributed, I believe, through the Buckeye Firearms Association in reference to Greg Elifritz, who's a prominent trainer here in the state of Ohio and nationally.
I think it was actually on his website of Active Response Training, but I've also put it up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to get out there, they can get that from our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio or go out to facebook.com/simtrainer, and that'll also be there.
And I mention that because that provides you with a very kind of easy to understand progression of the the issues involved in a real life deadly force situation. And also, as Mark and I will talk about after the break at the bottom of the hour, there's a video that was accompanying that particular commentary whereby an individual acted inappropriately and was arrested, rightfully so, and is going to be charged and in my opinion, likely convicted of something because of his inappropriate behavior.
He was sentenced to 40 years.
Well, was it already? Yeah. It's already resolved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the article along with the video just help people understand, because a lot of times when you say things, whether it's us or other people, we explain things, but this kind of brings it to life. There's a good commentary about the issues involved. Then you have a video where you can kind of see the events unfold and you see that elements were not met and therefore deadly force was not justified in the particular situation. So,
yeah, I viewed that video. Jeff hadn't watched the video when he sent me the article. And so I responded to him and I had just watched the video and I had a pretty good head of steam. He figured I must have been sending an email back to the wrong guy. But there's every example of how not to handle a situation was demonstrated in living color. The guy videotaped it himself. I think he was probably saying he figured he would probably use that as part of his justification for how he acted responsibly. And everything that he did was something that could have been avoided had he just chosen not to be the one to go out there and do something that was completely inappropriate. And I understand the frustration he must have felt. That it was a situation where neighbors were having an extremely loud and drunk party, and apparently this wasn't the first time, and it had been a frustrating thing. But frustration is not a justification for use of deadly force. And he apparently thought that by saying he believed he was feeling threatened, that was all it would take for him to justify having done what he did. Now, he provoked the situation and everything about that. If you go out to our website and go out to the video, you can view that video. Maybe you want to even do that during the break, and we'll talk about that a little bit afterwards. We're going to head out to the news center and Daryl Bauer and let you find out a little bit more about what's going on. But if you'd like to be part of the show today, give the studio a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board as well, let you weigh in on some of these issues or maybe answer some other questions that you have. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. We're glad that you've been able to join us this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. We have some open lines, and we'd like to be able to get your views on some of these issues or maybe answer some of your questions. Shooting from the Hip is brought to you by Sim Trainer each week. Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're down on Dryden Road, just south of the river, right across from the DP&L Maintenance Yard. If you'd like to find out more information about the range, you can do that on our website at sim-trainer.com. That's sim-trainer.com. And if you are new to the radio show, we're glad to have you with us. You can find out some of the things that we've talked about before at sim-trainer.com/radio. That's where you can also sign up for the podcast. And you can then download the shows and listen to them, or you can just listen to them right online from your computer. And we'd be glad to be able to have you do that as well. So if you'd like to kind of join in on some of the things that have been happening in the past and find out what's been going on there, you can do that as well. And, of course, you can always listen to us live this time. But if you're not in the Dayton area and you'd like to listen online, you can do that through either the iHeartRadio network, which I personally can't use simply because I don't heart, period. But there are other applications that will allow you to do that on your phone. And you can also go to newstalkradio.whio.com and click the Listen Now button, and you can join the show that way. We were talking right before the news at the bottom of the hour about an article that was written by Greg Elifritz, and it's available up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/simtrainer and on his website at activeresponsetraining.net. And it was talking about the legal concept of preclusion. And it's something it's kind of important. It relates to stand your ground. And one of the statements he makes in his article is that he thinks that various castle doctrine laws that have been recently enacted in many states might cause some people to act in a way that that would get them in trouble, that there might be more irresponsible shootings as a result of that. People think that they have a right to use a firearm in a situation that doesn't absolutely require it. And I think one of the main issues that we bring in our concealed carry class, and if every class doesn't do this, they need to, your use of a firearm is the absolute last resort. It is the situation where you are in the middle of a deadly threat that was not of your making, and it was a situation that you could not possibly have been avoided. Maybe you were caught unawares, which you shouldn't ever be, by the way. You really need to keep your wits about you anytime you're out and about, what we call sometimes condition yellow, where your head is on a swivel and paying attention to what's going on around you. But when sometimes that doesn't happen, and or if there's a bad situation that occurs because it was intended to, somebody had evil intent and decided they were going to do something, if there's no other way to be out of a situation and your life is in danger, either at risk of grave bodily harm or death, the use of a firearm to defend yourself is by far the most effective means to do that. It's not going to guarantee that you don't get seriously injured. In fact, there's about a 1 in 5 chance that you would anyway, even if you are using a firearm for self-defense. But the next best is about 50% chance that you'll be injured. So it has been shown to be by far the most effective. And yet, it doesn't mean that you should go into a situation that could possibly be avoided. That part of that keeping your head on a swivel, staying in condition yellow, is to recognize that there's a bad situation and to avoid it. The one situation that you can be absolutely guaranteed that you are not going to get injured in is the situation that you are not part of. And the article that Greg wrote references a video, and in fact, there are a couple of links in his article. The video is about 22 minutes long, and it was actually videotaped by the shooter. He was then charged with murder and convicted because one of the people that he was going after to try to stop this loud party that was going on came close to him, and he shot this person, killed one of these people, and was then sentenced to 40 years in prison after being convicted of murder. I was watching the video, and I saw many different places where he could have just turned around and walked away and left the situation, contacting the police. I mean, this was not a situation where he was being attacked. It was a situation where he was trying to stop something he didn't like. And that, frankly, is not a situation where deadly force is going to be justified under most normal situations that I can envision. If you go into a situation to try to stop something that you don't like that's going on or that you think might be illegal, and it's not already a deadly situation, and frankly, a loud party is not causing anybody a deadly threat, you're not protecting somebody, you're not protecting yourself. And if you go into a situation like that where you take the affirmative action to try to cause something to be different, and then somebody doesn't want to follow your instructions and you take a gun out to threaten them, you're the one who is wrong. That's not appropriate use of deadly force. And it's not a stand your ground issue, and it's not going to be affected by any of the laws that are currently being changed. And unfortunately, a lot of the people in the media and a lot of people in the anti-gun crowd don't want to hear that. They want to take these examples, and every time one of these things occurs, it just gives them one more thing that they're going to use to beat law-abiding gun owners up and to try to put more restrictions on your right to keep and bear arms that are inappropriate. Now, there is a bill currently pending before the Ohio House. It's House Bill 203. If you haven't been out to read it, I strongly recommend that you do that. There are several changes that are proposed. We have no idea what will actually get through committee and actually onto the floor and get voted, whether it will pass or not. One of the things that it changes is something we discussed earlier. That is that that it would mean that you would no longer have to prove that it was you who was defending yourself. It would be up to the prosecutor to prove that you were not using justifiable self-defense. It would be a rebuttable presumption, which means you have the presumption, just as you currently do now in your car or your home, you have a presumption that you're acting in self-defense. And if it's not that way, if the prosecutor has evidence to suggest otherwise, then it's up to the prosecutor to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that it was not justifiable as on the basis of self-defense. Well, that would extend to any place that you have a legal right to be. And frankly, I believe that's the way it should be. I think if you are somewhere that you have a right to be and you have to defend yourself, you should not have to prove that it was self-defense. You should be innocent until proven guilty, just as you are in any other situation in the U.S. courts. The other thing that it would do is it would eliminate the duty to retreat. And the duty to retreat says that if you are in a situation not in your car and not in your home, your first response must be to escape the situation if you can do so safely. And it is a legal requirement that you do that. Now, from a practical standpoint, that doesn't change anything. Because from a practical standpoint, if you have the ability to retreat safely, that should be automatically your first option. The problem I have is where it's a legal requirement and somebody who wasn't there is going to have as much time and free lunches as they need sitting on the jury to figure out after the fact, while you had 3 seconds to figure out what it is that you're going to do to defend your life. And they're then going to second guess all of your actions in the nice, cool, air-conditioned and heated comfort of the jury deliberation.
That's a very, very, very important point. And I just want to add a little bit of insight to that overview that he just provided you. I want to kind of bring it to life even more in the sense that when we talk about deadly force by legal definition is force likely to cause death or serious bodily injury. Now, that being said,
if it's a firearm, that is automatically considered deadly force.
And again, it doesn't matter what the means is. If you as a person are subjected to a situation where you feel that you have to use deadly force because the action of another believes you to reasonably believe that you or someone else is in danger of death or serious bodily injury, if you don't utilize deadly force to offset that, then what I want to let you know is that, remember, these situations are spontaneous. They crop up all of a sudden. You don't have a whole lot of time to think, as Mark mentioned, whereas the people who, not only the triers of fact, but prosecutors, as we found out in the Zimmerman case, they have a lot of time to mill around what might have happened and not even, in some cases, not even look at the direct evidence that's available to them. They make supposition. They rely on, what I would have done under those circumstances or what they thought somebody should do under those circumstances as opposed to fact. But the bottom line is when cases like this go to court, the essence of the decision is going to be based on the reasonableness of your actions relative to the deadly force situation that you perceived. And that's key to remember. It's not what someone else perceives. It's what you perceived at the time it occurred. And then the law will come into play and the decisions will be made based on that. And what I want everybody to understand, it's reasonable circumstances that's critical as opposed to, as Mark described, and if you look at that video and the way he described it to me, I haven't had a chance to see it, it's very unreasonable for that individual to do many of the things he did, certainly to shoot that person because he didn't like the fact that they were playing their music loud. So, but also understand that there's a situation where, let's say, and we come across these pretty frequently, where a neighbor goes next door to ask an individual to turn down their music. That develops hostility between the neighbors. The neighbor realizes, I better go home and call the police because I can't handle this. Now, the other individual, for any one of a number of reasons, pursues him and then puts him in a situation where he's in a compromising situation. It can quickly change from the scenario, as Mark described, that's depicted in that video, to a situation where an individual could be justified in using deadly force to defend himself if the person provokes the situation such to the point that the person has to use deadly force to save their own life.
Let's go out and talk to our caller from the phone. Karen has called from Huber Heights. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
How can we help you today?
Well, I'm sorry to admit that I've been in and out of the room, so I didn't listen to your full show, and I'd like to know a little bit more about HB 203, and I do not have a computer, but if I could find out afterwards, because I'm sure everybody else doesn't need to hear everything all over again unless you want to. But I'm commenting because the reason I moved from the mountains of North Carolina to Huber Heights was because I could have been very easily a victim in a crossfire shooting between two pistol-happy Bozo and Bubba, I guess you'd call them, one guy up the hill from my mobile home and one guy down the hill from my mobile home. There was this young man who was off his meds. He was just simply ranting and raving, and he was waving a stick. It was obviously a branch that he'd taken off, and he was going to kill anybody that blah, 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 whatever it was. Anyway, the guy up the hill said, oh, if I'd been here, thank God he wasn't. He said, anybody comes and attacks you, I'm going to get out my gun and I'm going to shoot him. And the guy who did come up the hill said, well, if I'd had time to go get my gun, I would have shot him. Well, they would have shot an innocent man, or because it was a mobile home, they could have shot me. They could have shot my brand new hot water, full house size water tank, or at least they would have put a few holes. But I thought, if you guys ever need to use that index finger because it's trigger happy, please dial 911.
Karen, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break for the hour, but if you'd like to get on the phone and give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290, we'll try to get you up in the last few minutes of the show that we have left. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and I want to let our listeners know, particularly in reference to Karen's call, we will be keeping very close track of the progress of House Bill 203 as it progresses through the legislature, and make periodic updates as there's relevant issues to report. There are several other issues in that particular bill. Mark kind of highlighted the main issues, and we're obviously very interested in how that progresses, and we will provide periodic updates. I want to take this opportunity now to make the drawing for the Ruger LC380 that for those individuals who updated or their membership in the NRA or got a new membership in the NRA between Memorial Day and the 4th of July. And the winner is, drum roll please, the winner is Kimber Zelick. Kimber Zelick, you're the winner of an LC380. Please contact the range at 293-3914. We'll be in contact with you in the next few days, make arrangements for you to do the transfer for that particular gun. Marcos, do we have somebody else on the phone?
We do. And before we go out to the phone, I just want to remind folks again that we do have a concealed carry class next week that we have a special deal running for because there's still a little bit of space left in it. So if you and a friend want to come, the two of you can come for the normal price of one person at $150. Or if you want to come by yourself, we'll give you a $25 discount for that as well. And you can just call the range again at that same number, 293-3914. Let's go out and talk to Gary, who's calling from Beaver Creek. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Question, as an ammunition retailer, have you guys noticed the availability of ammunition becoming a little bit better than it has been in the past? Is it easing up?
It is easing up, but it's a creep. It's not going to. We're not going to see large numbers.
We're not seeing
numbers.
A flood yet.
Yeah, it's a creep. But I'm seeing it's readily available. And I just have to tell you, at the range, just because of the business that we are conducting and the way we do business,
our focus is shooting as opposed to selling.
Yeah, we're not
ammo.
Letting people come in and buy large quantities of ammunition because we want the ammo there for people to use it. I do know that places, some of the box stores have had increasingly large numbers. I just heard that the Cabela's down in West Virginia, one of our members was down there, was actually selling 223 and 40 in case quantities. They were limiting to 9mm, I believe, to 6 or 8 boxes a piece, and they even had some 22. We did hear that recently some of the manufacturers that the 22 ammo is supposed to break wide open at the end of August. They said that's kind of their date. They moved that back from May, just so they could catch up with the other calibers, which my indications are that they're doing that. And I think that going into the fall, provided people don't engage in that frenzied stockpiling of ammo that we've seen being a major contributor to the problem, we should get to a point where we're going to have ready available supplies.
I was out at the gun store at the base yesterday, and their shelves were pretty full behind the counter. Then the last time I was out there, there was like 5 boxes of random different calibers that nobody wanted. So it is getting a little better, but there's still a long ways to go. And like Jeff said, the more people hold back and buy just what they need and then wait until the stocks get up to the point where the price starts to begin to come down. And then if you want to rebuild some of your own personal inventory, that'd be a good time to do that. Thanks very much for calling the show, Gary. We are pretty much out of time, so we'd love to have you join us again next week at 2 o'clock. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.